Welcome inside episode 673 of the Locked On Senators podcast. I'm Ross Levitan on the outskirts of enemy territory in Winnipeg, Manitoba, alongside Brandon Piller up in the Blue Mountains after the Sens beat down the Buffalo Sabres by a score of 4-1.
And the Belleville Senators also get a win as they beat the Cleveland Monsters 8-7 in a shootout win.
8-7? We got a lot to get into from that game. And Erik Karlsson trade rumors. Could he come home? We'll touch on that. This is the Locked On Senators podcast. It's your team every day.
Your Locked On Senators, your daily podcast on the Ottawa Senators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Jake Sanderson, and you're listening to Locked On Senators podcast.
I'm Tim Stützler, and you're listening to the Locked On Senators podcast.
Thank you for making Locked On Senators your first listen on this Thursday, November 17th. The show is free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the best way you can help the show grow is to like every video by clicking the thumbs up and subscribing to the Locked On Senators channel. The road to 5,000 continues. So be a friend and tell a friend. Pilsy, that was a lot of fun. Letting in less goals turns out to be a lot better than allowing a lot.
I mean, we're not math guys, but yeah, I can definitely sign on to that, Ross. But this was a weird game because two teams that are kind of a lot of young talent, especially on the back end, not exactly the best decors in the league here. So there was a lot of sloppy mistakes and a lot of penalties being called. The Ottawa Senators had at least four high-sticking penalties, and the Sabres even had a couple of those themselves, and only two power play goals in this game, one for each team, but ultimately the Senators, they're able to hold on through great goaltending by Anton Forsberg. He was sharp, and we got to give it up for Jake Sanderson. I mean, for him to come in and be a number one defenseman just a few games into his NHL career, pretty damn impressive.
It's one of those things where nobody wanted to put that pressure on him. But if you've been watching him at North Dakota over the last 2 years, you knew he had this gear in him where the more he plays, the more in control he feels of the game. It's the little like bump plays, D to D. It's everything about his game. And how about the defensive acumen to lay it down in the crease, knowing he's going to take sticks and knees like he ended up taking. He is a warrior, and it's not going to be long before he's among the elite in the NHL.
Yeah, I agree. It's not going to take too long. And he's not just some like all-star defenseman that moves the puck. He's great defensively too, you mentioned. How about that block on JJ Paterka later on in the game? And he talked about it after in the post-game scrum. Man, that one's a stinger. I think it caught him right on the leg. So he battled last night, and that's what you got to do. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And sure, it wasn't pretty, but the Senators needed that win, Ross. It was a really must win. Oh, I'm waiting for the ding.
No, we'll hit you with the ding.
There it is. It's a really must win, and they got it. A 4-1 victory. Ian Mendez started his article off today with, it's ridiculous to call a game a must win game in November for an NHL team. Well, Ian, hate to break it to you, we've declared 5 must win games for the Ottawa Senators already.
How about October?
You never said anything about that. But the Senators now have a 3-2 record on LOSP declared must-win games. So things are trending upwards. Let's go.
Yes, they certainly are. And they're trending upwards for the team. It's so funny because you can cherry pick whichever stat. That's their second win in their last 9 games. But it's also their second win in the last 4 games. So, and then they got a point in another one. So 2-1-1 in their last 4. Or 2-6-1. In their last 9.
And Ross, this is what I want to reference, and TSN 1200 has done a good job of keeping along with this. When Pierre Dorion said these next 10 games are very important, the first game was a 6-4 loss to the Canucks, second game, 4-3 overtime loss to the Devils, then a 4-1 win against the Flyers, a 4-2 loss against the Islanders, and then a 4-1 win. So in the first half of those very important games, the Ottawa Senators are 2-2-1. So, I mean, obviously not great, but an improvement on where this team was with 7-game losing streak at hand earlier on. So the players are buying into how important these games are, and the excuses of not having Zub and Shabbat. I mean, Norris, we should bring up every time, but that's a foregone conclusion. He's gone for the season, so that's not really an excuse in my mind. You got to accept that he's out of there. But without two of your top defensemen, this team found a way to win, and that's what they need to be doing. Because sure, they've been in games, and we've referenced it a million times. All of their losses have been one goal games, if you exclude the empty netters. But eventually, you got to pull ahead, and you got to be the team that holds on to it at the end, and you got to be the team that's scoring on other teams' empty cages. And that's what the Ottawa Senators did there, 4-1 win.
And if you were just looking at natural stat trick and had no idea of the flow or the sequencing of this game, you'd look and you'd say, wait, Nick Holden led the Ottawa Senators in even strength ice time, 5-on-5? Holy, Eric Brännström was second? Jacob Larsson was third? What kind of world are we living in? Well, it's one where the Sens' leading ice time getter, Jake Sanderson, played 11 minutes on special teams. 4:46 on the power play, 6:46 killing penalties. Travis Hamonic played over 7 minutes on the penalty kill. I thought he had one of his better games as an Ottawa Senator. He stepped up, and you got to love Sandy, eh? Like, just the leadership. He was giving Hamonic as much credit as humanly possible in his scrum last night. He knows what it means to have a veteran next to him, and hey, he's just impressing me on the ice, off the ice. Like, Sanderson's stat line is absolutely ridiculous. Credited with 5 block shots, 2 hits, 4 shots on goal, 2 assists, and a takeaway. Have a night.
Yeah, that's an incredible stat line for a young defenseman that's been elevated into a role very quickly into his NHL career. And I'm so glad Sandy did that, giving a lot of credit to Travis Hamonic, because I think fans get frustrated when they look at stats and they look at the dollars that veteran guys make, and you're like, why is this guy playing, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds crazy, but this is a workplace environment. And sure, maybe the results on the ice are all we see, but there's so much more that goes on to a successful hockey team. And you need veteran guys who have been through the grind that can help guys like Sanderson just through the day-to-day stuff, like off-ice stuff, I'm sure, as well. Hamonic's been a great guy for Sandy to lean on for advice and asking questions and things like that. So keep in mind, as a fan, that everything you see on the ice doesn't encapsulate. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Try it again.
Encapsulate. Oh, man. All my word of the days are me messing them up. I got to get better with my vocabulary.
That's a good word.
What we see on the ice doesn't fully encapsulate how much goes on fully with a hockey team that's in motion throughout a long season here. So shout out to Sandy. And my second Sen Central standout of the postcast was Nick Holden. Those veteran guys, they do have their spots where they shine. And I thought they did a good job last night.
Encapsulate, to express the essential features of something succinctly.
Okay. Yeah. So I fumbled it a little and wasn't totally confident, but I picked my spot there.
You certainly did. So you brought up your second Sen Central standout from the postcast, which is getting rave reviews. It's the number one postcast in the National Hockey League right now. I'm calling my shot with that Leems Martian. And my second Sen Central standout turned out to be the guy who gets the chain. Sorry, the chain's gone. Chain's ripped off. The goggles. We need to get a pair of goggles when we're talking on the postcast. Waiting for it. We got to get our prop game up here, Pilsy. But Austin Watson, the boys loved the way he was blocking shots, and he opened the scoring too. So big goal for him. I also think it's a little bit of like a, hey, we see that you've been trying to get momentum in our favor. It hasn't been going, like that bad penalty he took, where the thought process was good. He saw Pinto get hit from behind. He's like, okay, well, I'm going to go get him. And then he took a penalty. They score on it, and the game kind of goes down the tube from there. His fights haven't really created a whole lot of momentum, but you know that the teammates take notes. So Cam Talbot gives the goggles to Austin Watson after last night's game. Watson had a goal, 2 shots, 3 hits, 2 block shots, and he played 13:33, but over 5 minutes shorthanded.
Yeah, and he was saying to reporters, like, it's crazy how much shorthanded time I had in the first two periods. Like, for Austin Watson, that's a big assignment. Like, that's He's pulling his weight back there on the fourth line. And Ross, you were very critical of the fourth line. And I feel like all around they stepped up. Sure, Gambrell gets the nod instead of Cassie, so it's a little bit different. But I really thought Parker Kelly had a better game. Waddy had a better game. And then my guy Gambrell, I think he deserves some more playing time, because although he's only been in three games, I thought he's made a positive impact in the short amount of time he's there.
Can we hear Austin Watson describing what he thought this game was like?
That game. Well, it was nuts.
It was nuts.
It was absolutely nuts with all the penalties. Nobody can get into a flow. And these seem to be the types of games that the Senators found a way to lose in recent games. So for them to come up on the right side of it, both of their wins, Pilsy, to my point leading into the show, their last two wins, they allowed one goal in each of them. They tighten up defensively. Yep. They shut it down. And in this case, the cat, meow, was able to find the empty net after a beautiful feed from Mathieu Joseph, another standout from last night's game. Joseph needed that in the worst way. He'd gone five straight without a point. He puts it right on the tee, and the cat purrs his way into the empty cage. Like we said that the Sens weren't going to score on Craig Anderson. He looked good. He was kicking him out. And I said in the postcast, you know, I don't know if that even counts as a goal against him, because he was nowhere to be found in the net when DeBrincat let that shot go. But the point being, finally, they are able to get one and then get an insurance goal. When was their last two-goal lead? Oh, my God. So that was great to see.
Yeah, it's been a while. So that was a much-needed must-win game, and especially in front of a home crowd. You love to see it.
Not a must-win on Saturday, though. We got to put that back in the
We're going to cool it on the must-wins here. But
the bottom four teams in the NHL all won their last game.
Yeah, that's...
The limbo bar goes up.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Or down. It goes down. Huh? Wouldn't that make it harder? If the limbo bar is down, it's harder to get through?
Yep. Yeah, you're completely
right. I know
right.
My limbo. Yep.
We're going to get more into this game with Mark Mathot tomorrow. He joins Locked On Senators every week. If you missed any of Meth's segments, you can go onto YouTube, and we've got a playlist. So you can go find whenever Mark Mathot joins the show. His old running mate, Erik Karlsson, is off to an unbelievable start to the season. Could he get moved? Could he come home? We'll get into all that. But first, Pilsy, you got a word from one of our favorite sponsors.
Yes, Ross, and it's been tough sledding for Sens fans on the sports gambling world, but now that the Ottawa Senators finally get another win here, hopefully your betonline.ag accounts are looking a little better. Some green numbers, that's what we like to see, and if you're going to place a wager on any sports, you got to go to the trusted online sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network, guys. It's betonline.net. They got all the best odds, news, scores, player performance props, overs, unders, money line, puck line, whatever you like, they got it. And it's not just hockey. If you guys love football, careful placing your wagers on this Bills game that's coming up. They're expecting 6 feet of snow. The game might get moved, so adjust yourselves accordingly. But the thing is, you can find all the updates for those odds as it changes based on weather and location, all that stuff, at betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Guys, it's betonline.net, where the game starts.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Shawarma Palace. It's Ottawa's favorite food. It's Shawarma Palace. Game day stays better with Shawarma Palace, and we love when everyone tweets at us their chicken platters, their mixed platters, their beef platters, their wraps. Anything from Shawarma Palace is bound to be delicious. So it's great when you guys tweet at us the photos of it. Honestly, just makes me so hungry. Nothing compares to the Palace. You can eat like a royal at the Palace. And the beauty is they don't sacrifice great flavor for size. If you see the portion at Shawarma Palace, they make sure that you come home full and probably needing a nap. That's my go-to move after Shawarma Palace. You got to just enjoy the extra garlic sauce. That's my go-to when I head to any of their 9 locations. I can't believe how fast Shawarma Palace has grown from what was just one spot on Rideau Street back in 1997. And now it's all over the city. You're never too far away from a Shawarma Palace. Whether you're in Orleans, whether you're in Carleton, you could be in class and then have Shawarma Palace within minutes. They've got their one on Bank and Gladstone, Woodruff as well. And Innes Road is now open. So you got, you're never too far away, but if you are too lazy to go to Shawarma Palace, you can just order them on any of the delivery apps. So head there today and tell them Locked On Senators sent you. We love Shawarma Palace. Shawarma Palace loves you by association of loving us. And I can't wait to eat there again very soon. Make sure you tag us on social media when you head to Shawarma Palace at any of their 9 locations in Ottawa. Game days taste better at Shawarma Palace. All right, it's the Locked On Senators podcast. Brandon Piller with myself, Ross Levitan. And Erik Karlsson trade rumors are here. And unlike last time, I'm not getting crippling anxiety thinking about it.
Yeah, it's nice being on the other side of the fence here, being like, ooh, maybe we'll dip our toe in the Erik Karlsson trade, rather than being like, when is the hammer going to drop and the greatest defenseman in this organization is going to be moved and we're not going to like the return here. That was the anxiety, although we loved the return for the Erik Karlsson trade, so that ended up working out great. But Ross, I'm going to start this off. Unfortunately, this is kind of a no for me dog type situation here. Not only is the cap hit crazy, and I know if he's going to get moved, there's going to be salary retention regardless, but I just don't think it's a fit for many reasons. I think Mark Mathot, he talked about it. Carl's an alpha. He's an alpha dog. And it feels like there's a lot of alphas on the rise on this back end. You got Thomas Chabot, who's been the number one defenseman for pretty much his whole career here, other than the half season he spent with Carl. And then Jake Sanderson, he's on the rise. He could be a number one defenseman as soon as the end of this season, or even earlier, honestly. Let's be real. He's doing a great job of it right now. So adding Karlsson to this mix, I don't feel like would be a good move for the locker room. And just his style of play, there's so many puck movers right now. And the Senators don't need another puck mover, although it would be nice to get one on the right side. They need a guy that can shut things down and help stabilize those puck movers on the left side. So just like when you put it all together, none of it makes sense for me. The only thing is it's cool. It's cool as hell because that would be so awesome. Laleem's Martian put up the graphic of Carl in a 2D. It looks amazing. It would be such a fun story. We know Carl loves the city of Ottawa. So there's a lot of fun, emotion, and nostalgia attached, but this is a business, guys. This is a business, and we're trying to win games here. There's dollars involved. There would have to be assets going back to the Sharks, so that's a no for me.
So I'll play devil's advocate to an extent. I don't think it makes sense right now. I think Erik Karlsson will play again for the Ottawa Senators, but it's not at a 30-year-old.
I would love for when this contract is done, he signs back in Ottawa for one, maybe even two more years at a really low ticket, and then he rides off into the sunset. Sign me up for that 7 days of the week, but now is not the time.
No, he's got 4.5 years left on a contract that's paying him $11.5 million. And you look at the $10 million signing bonus he got last July 1st, cha-ching. He's only making $2 million in base salary this year. Well, if you include let's just do total salary going forward because it's all unpaid as of now. He's making 11.5 next year, 11 the year after, then 9, then 7.5. So it is declining, but certainly the next 2 years at 11.5 in real money, along with the cap hit of 11.5, I think it's just too much. Even like at 50% retained, which I doubt San Jose is going to do. Like, they might eat 20%, but they're not eating 5.75 on their cap.
And if they do, it's going to cost you.
For the next 4 years? No chance.
Yeah.
So it's a fun story, and obviously he would help this team. He's got 10 goals and 24 points in 18 games. He's looking like a 22-year-old Erik Karlsson out there. I think it was Jeff Merrick that said he looks like Erik Karlsson who's never met Matt Cook before. In a sense, like the way he shakes shimmying on the ice, I think it's obviously fun, and I would love for him to somehow find his way back to Ottawa. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not sending Josh Norris and Tim Stützle and you name two other prospects.
Matt Sogard, yeah.
Zach Ostapchuk and Levi Marilainen. I'll trade him straight up for Levi Marilainen, though.
Yeah, that would be a solid trade. But
in all seriousness, like, does Erik Karlsson get moved anywhere this year, do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. The San Jose Sharks have to sell high on Karlsson right now because...
His choice, though.
Yep, totally. It's his choice, but that is their top trade piece right now, if you ask me. And if they can find a way to get out of that contract, because the San Jose Sharks really built their team very strangely when they acquired Erik Karlsson. It never made sense to me why they decided that was a good idea to acquire him, give him that big contract, and now they're paying for it. They basically had to give Brent Burns away, one of their all-time franchise players, they had to give away. And now with Karlsson, the way where this team is set right now, it just doesn't make sense to hold on to him. So if he gets a boost in value here, I think they're going to try to move him, especially you got a new GM in there. He's going to try to clean house and kind of have his own footprint put on this new team. So I think it's likely that he gets moved, but yeah, the salary retention is going to be a big, or I should say it's likely they're going to try to move him because the salary is a big deal. I'm not sure too many teams that have playoff aspirations could make that fit and make that work. And like you mentioned, Karlsson would have to approve of any trade as he's got a really good no trade clause. And when you're making $11.5 million, you can live a nice life in California. So I wouldn't be trying to get out of there too quickly if I was him or his family.
Well, hey, you can live nice winters, but nothing can take away the lure of the canal in Ottawa during the summer months.
Agreed.
So Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks will actually face Ottawa next Monday. It's Ottawa's first of four games out west. They're in San Jose, then Vegas, then Anaheim, and then they take on the LA Kings, who surprisingly are fourth in the National Hockey League right now in points. So three of the next five opponents are top of the league, and the other two are right at the bottom. So it'll be a very interesting stretch here for Ottawa, but it starts on Saturday against the New Jersey Devils, who will either be coming off a 10-game win streak or coming in with 11 straight wins. They take on the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight as we're recording on Thursday. We'll get into more, of course, with Mark Mathot, but we have to get into this Belleville game. That's coming right up after a quick word from one of our favorite sponsors. You're listening to Locked On Senators. Well, fans got their money's worth in Belleville last night. 8-7 shootout victory over the Cleveland Monsters. And we'll touch on some of the prospects and what they did. But Pilsy, hit us with the stat that you brought up in the After Dark portion, which is exclusively available on YouTube and live after each and every Senators game, because this absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah, I'm glad it kind of hit you as hard as it hit me, because I wonder if this has ever been done in the AHL or even NHL. Like, this is absolutely bonkers. So the Belleville Senators, I believe it was Rochester, their previous game, it went to a shootout. Jake Lucchini starts the shootout. He shoots, he scores. Oh, we're doing the Bells? Okay.
No.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. Igor Sokolov, next up, he shoots, he scores. Then Rook Chartier, third player, shoots, scores, game winner, wrap it up. Big W for your Belleville Senators. Last night, not only did this game have 14 goals scored, 7-7, going into overtime and then ultimately going to the shootout. So, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the idea here with Troy Mann and the shootout shooters. So, same thing. Jake Lucchini up first, shoots, scores. Igor Sokolov up next, shoots, scores. And Rook Chartier finishes off, shoots, scores. In back-to-back games, the exact same three shootout shooters all score all the goals, and they get the win. Like, that is wild that happened in back-to-back games. So, although the Belleville Senators have a lot of injuries, it's crazy, all the injuries here, they end up getting the win here in back-to-back games. And as Ross is pulling up, if you're watching on YouTube, the stats here, we had some key performances from some a young prospect, especially down in Battlefield, Ross.
Yeah, Ridley Gregg. It almost feels like a bit forgotten right now after being hurt in training camp and not making the impact everyone was hoping for coming off of that World Juniors performance. He was awesome there. Well, he's picked it right up. A goal and two assists, four shots on net for him in last night's win, and he just looks the part right now. I was talking to David Foote, and he's just saying this kid looks ready for the next step. How about our boy Crooker with two assists in the game as well? Other multi-point efforts, Victor Lodin. Coming back from a seven-game absence, he comes back with a goal and an assist. Jake Lucchini not only scored in the shootout, but had two assists at regulation as well. Igor Sokolov, a goal and an assist. And then Lassie Thompson, a two-assist performance. So point night down in Belleville, and I hope the CAA was as rocking as I could tell from those highlights all game long, because you don't often see 15 goals in a single game.
Yeah, unfortunately, Ross, CAA Arena was looking a little empty. That's too bad for the boys, but hopefully the good people of the Bay of Quinte can get out there and support the boys. But although it was a limited crowd, they got the cowbells out there. They were getting loud. They were booing the Cleveland Monsters players as they went to shoot their shootout attempts. So you love to see that making noise, but yeah, we got to get more folks out to the good CA Arena. Marsha and I are going to plan a day to go there. We'll try to plan it in advance. Maybe we get a little bit of a meet up there, some boots on the ground, because I'm fired up about this Belleville team.
Yeah, it's still a team that is finding its way. I think there's so much turnover, especially with what Ottawa's lineup has fluctuated so much, but They're right in the middle of the pack. They're giving themselves a chance, and it's too early to look at the standings, but they're certainly not putting themselves out of it. They're kind of just right in the middle right now.
And they're leading 6-1. So
their leading scorers, their top two, are exactly like last year. Jake Lucchini 1, Igor Sokolov 2. So you know who's third?
No, I don't actually. Rourke Chartier?
Angus Cruikshank.
Crooker, attaboy. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there's so much exciting prospects down in Belleville. Like Crooker, Ridley Gregg, Victor Lodin is always fun to watch. Lassie Thompson. It sucks that both attendees are out right now. Shout out Logan Flodell, his first ever AHL win, attaboy. But yeah, there's a lot to be excited for about this Belleville Senators team. So I'm going to try to keep a closer eye on them, as I've kind of been distracted by Ottawa here. So I'm going to try to zoom in on the Belleville Senators.
Yeah, of course. And if we're just looking at the 2020 draft class, like Philip Daou had 5 points in 6 games. 5 points in 6 games for Philip Daou. Roby Järventi has 5 points in 8 games. He's out with an injury, though, week to week right now. And then you look at Igor with 12 points in 13 games. Like, Ridley has eight points in 9 games. And Cole Reinhardt has 8 points in 13 games. Like, the 2020 draft class, it cannot be overstated how crucial it is to the future of this team, or was, I should say. And then you look at what's happening at the NHL level with the two top dogs, the top five picks in Timney and Jake. Like, unbelievable draft, and it's helping the entire organization out with what's going on in Belleville as well. Like to still see it. I'm sure Igor is looking at that too, next to the goals, and he's like, hey, I need some more finish. I'm getting shots on goal. I got 26 shots in 13 games. I just need to bury a little bit more, and then at least he's getting his B game going. He's getting the playmaking going, and I'm excited to see this continue, because a lot of cold temperatures in the plus minus right now, but they're still finding their way. So looking forward to covering Belleville throughout the season for sure.
Yeah, and Ross, Igor's still looking good. Like, that goal that he scored, Ridley Gregg set him up so perfectly, and he one times it straight in. And after Igor scores a shootout goal, Ross, as he's coming along the benches, when he gets to the Cleveland Monsters bench, I don't think he did this to like show them up, but it was right when he got to the Monsters bench, he does this stick twirl and sheath in his hand there. So you'll love to see that Igor is still having a good time.
I love it. I absolutely love that for the boys. So what we're looking for now is who could be the next call up. And we talked about that in the postcast after dark. So that make that your second listen. We appreciate you tuning in to Locked On Senators every weekday, Monday through Friday, plus postcasts after each and every game. So we mentioned tomorrow, Mark Mathot will stop by for his weekly hit. And then on Saturday afternoon, the postcast returns. It's a 1 p.m. puck drop at home against the red-hot, hell-burning New Jersey Devils, who are just clicking on all cylinders. But wouldn't that be a fun story if the Sens can get even in the season series?
That would be great. And I mean, last time the Sens got close, they got snake bit in overtime, and ultimately the Devils score on a power play goal in overtime. But they were right there. And fingers crossed, Ross, Artem Zub might be back for that game as he's practicing in a regular jersey. There hasn't been any announcements or anything. This is just me putting it out there, optimistic vibes into the universe, positive vibes. But I think it's possible. They got a couple days off now, so hopefully he can be back for that one.
How would you organize the decor with Artem Zub back? Because it would be easy to just be like, oh, Shabbat. Well, that's impossible. Shabbat's out. So how would you organize the decor? I think the easy call is that Jacob Larson comes out.
Yes.
But how would you shuffle it up? Because now all of a sudden you have an abundance of right shot defensemen.
Yeah, so I'm keeping Sandy and Hamonic together. I saw some people put Zub up with Sanderson. I think it's working. Why mess with it, right? So top pair, Sanderson, Hamonic. Then you go Brännström. I think I go Brännström, Zub on that one. And then Holden, JBD.
Yeah, I like that. And the way it's set up. And JBD playing the least amount of minutes of any Senators defenseman, not named Jacob Larson last night. He played 12:57. So I think that's fair. And then Holden can go back to his dominant side, left shot, and not have to play almost 20 minutes anymore, even though he did fine last night, but you don't want to see that each and every night. No. So it would just be such a boost to get Artem Zub back into the lineup. They've missed him like no end. And if I'm Dan Milstein, his agent, I'm clipping every single defensive breakdown on the right side in their own zone while he's been out. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for contract wise, but we'll see. The Senators are off today, which I probably should have led the show with, but they're back on Friday, so we'll have some fresh news coming on Twitter at SensCentral and on Instagram, LockedOn.Senators. Pilsy, do you have any final thoughts here?
No final thoughts for me, really, other than it's what a refreshing night last night, Ross, where both the Ottawa Senators and the Belleville Senators get W's. Like, let's keep that going. I like that. That was fun.
Two wins and an intermission panel on how Erik Karlsson would fit on the 2023 Ottawa Senators. What a world we're living in. Pilsy.
That is weird.
For today, we say goodbye. For Brandon Piller, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On Senators podcast, your team every day.